of years ago. The first conversation that he and I had together was at a lengthy conversation, was at a McDonald's, where he affirmed to me that he was okay and didn't need anything, basically. And God in his grace, just like he did for you and me, saved Andrew. And it has been a joy to see the growth in his life. And I'm very excited about the desire that he has to teach God's word to God's people. I think it'll be a wonderful help to you. I know it's been a blessing to him just doing the preparation for the material. So I don't want to take either any more of his time or any more of his substance. So why don't we ask the Lord's blessing and let's benefit from the time together in God's word. Our Father, we're thankful that we can be here today. We pray for the education that is going on throughout the building today among our children, with the teaching that is going on from Chris Pitts, Vern Donnelly, and here with Andrew Harris. We're thankful for all of these who serve us and our families in this particular way. For any who are still driving, we ask for your safety upon them as they make their way in this morning. We pray that you would gather your people together today. Use our brother in our lives this morning. Thank you for the immense preparation he has put into the entire series and in today's class. Cause us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of what we received today from your servant. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Can you do me a huge favor? Just come on and get cozy. I'd really appreciate it. I, to be honest, I'm quite intimidated by just things being spread out. I don't know. It would be a big help to me. Thank you so much. I got an organization problem. Everything has to be in its place. So it's part of being an accountant, I guess. Okay. So, this morning I wanted to start out with just a little activity. You'll see on your handouts, there's a list. Why does money cause you grief? So I want you just to take a few minutes just to write down three reasons why money causes you grief. Just think about it carefully. I'm sure you can list more than three. I know I can. So if you're just coming in, we're just writing down three reasons why money causes us grief on the handout. Let's take a couple minutes to do that. And when you're done, just take a look up at me and I'll know. Okay, I think most of us are done. We'll just go ahead from here. You know, the good thing about God, great thing about God, he sets us free from those worries that trouble us every day. So you have these worries, this list. Just keep it so you have it for the course of this class, and let's be praying about that. Because that's what we do as believers, is we pray. We shouldn't be alone in our worry. We should, if you're comfortable, you can discuss this with your family, with fellow believers, because it's not good for believers to be worrying. So why don't we right now just join together and say kind of an opening prayer. Oh Lord, we come bearing many heavy burdens. Let us cast these burdens aside for a moment. Let us take on your yoke. You said your yoke is easy. We will learn how to flourish in the land from you. We will learn to take hold of life, the type of life that leads us to eternal life. Amen. All right. I should be looking here. So I had a slide for that. But here's the course outline. So we got a 10-week course. There's a lot of bad financial advice out there. And so I think it's really critical in these first couple days that we just kind of get grounded in what the Bible has to say. So you'll see that we'll go through some money truths about various things involved with money, about giving, the love of money, debt, and then we'll kind of get into some how-tos. And that's really how it will work. Okay. And then I have another handout that you'll see. It's financial goals for First Calvary members. I thought this is something Pastor had referred me to. It's most of it's from Dave Ramsey's website, but I thought we'd just take a minute here just to kind of go through it. Why don't one of us take out each bullet point, just starting Pastor, why don't you start? Read the first bullet point for us.
If they do, I'm okay with that. But whether they have a lot or a little, I want them to be Christ-centered and know what God has purposed them to do with money.
For people to be biblically literate, we want them to know what the scriptures say, where it is, and how to do it. Here he's coming, though. If someone comes in and tries to sell them a bill of goods, we want them to know how it violates biblical principles. If they are being told to leverage debt, they know the truth of Proverbs 22:7 that tells us the borrower is the slave of the lender.
Oh, go ahead.
For people to be debt free, debt chains us. Debt chains us to our past and robs us of our future. If I open a credit card to buy Christmas gifts, it chains me to that year's Christmas and robs me of what God had. I don't want the mistakes of my past to hinder my future. That's what inspires me about being a Christ follower. He gives us the opportunity to erase the past, sin, debt, and financial debt.
For people to be savers, the Bible tells us that wise people save money. A debtor loses opportunities, and a saver is ready when bad presents.
Most of all, love God and demonstrate our love.
Thank you for reading those. We'll be getting into each of those during this 10 weeks. So I thought, keep that with you, and it's a good place, good point of reference. Okay, I wanted to just provide my contact information if you had questions or need to reach me, anything, I'm open. You can email me, call me, or send me a letter. It's on the back of your handout, so you don't need to write it down. Okay, now with that, let's get started. So, I just wanted to take a few minutes to say what God has done in my life, how He brought me here. A lot of the personal development took place last year. What I did was I listened to the Bible daily. I listened to it. I listened to the whole of the Bible, starting from the cover to cover. I didn't really come with any plan or any sort of, I'm going to get this out of the Bible. I just, every day, chipped away at it, and He talked to me. God talked to me in my life. After I had gotten through the Bible, I kind of went back to some books that just really intrigued me. Proverbs and some of Paul's letters. I think what's really fascinating to me is kind of the stark contrast between Paul and Solomon. It's really interesting to me. But I just repeated it. Repetition. Every day, he spoke to me. He gave me some questions of myself. He exposed what's wrong in my life. I mean, yeah, I've been saved, but it's a continual process of figuring out, undoing all that damage, you know, from prior to when I was saved. So every day I was in God's Word. So he taught me where I've been wrong with money. And I'm an accountant. I mean, there's areas in my life where I bought into some of these lies that you hear every day, and they're so hard to wean out. But thankfully we have the Bible, and we can be grounded in that, and we can find truth with how we should be handling money. But what God eventually inspired of me is, how can I be useful to the church? And being that I deal with money, it'd probably be a good idea that I would help with money to the church and teach this class. And with that idea, it didn't stop there. He's taught me up into this very hour, corrected my thinking. It's just been a continual process of just pouring wisdom on me. I don't know how to describe it, but it's been such a blessing. And I'm so glad I get to share this with you, and I hope that it'll be helpful. So, enough about me. Let's go to very first. Why money? Why is it so important? Why does it even matter? I mean, why does money matter? Isn't that just kind of a weird thought? I mean, if we're going to heaven, why does it matter? I've wrestled with this a lot. So before I kind of get started, does anybody have any thoughts on that? Why does money matter? Exactly. That's good. Wonderful. I think this is what I have come to understand. Money, how we treat money, it's an outward expression of something that's happening on the inside. So let's just consider why money, how we handle it, is important to our lives. Just think about how much content in the Bible deals with money. Jesus talked about money more than he talked about heaven or hell. Of the 39 parables recorded in the Gospels, 11 of them talked about money. So that's a lot of content. But don't just take my word for it. Let's go to some texts and just see what they have to say. I picked out three of them. Let's read Luke 12:34. Let's see. Who wants to read? It's a great one. Okay, how about Proverbs 10:15? Oh, did I get that one right? I guess the one must have put the wrong one down. But keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither riches nor poor, but only give me my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. And lastly, let's look at James 4:1-3. Oh, okay, Proverbs 30. Who wants to read James? Dan, you look like you want to read James.
But when it's come wars and fighting among you, come they not against even of the lust that war in the earth. You lust to have them. You kill, you desire to have. You cannot change, you fight war. Yet you have not been against them. Yes, and seek them because you ask of it that you may consume them from your life.
All right. So, let's start with this thought. Why do we have money problems? Is money evil? Oh, yeah. We don't manage money well? Any other thoughts? Why we have money problems? Ownership, yeah. That's good. We act like we own our money. And it was kind of a 2-point question I had. Why do we have money problems? And is money evil? So is money evil? Growing up as a Catholic, there's priests that took vows of poverty. It's really all confusing to me. It took a while to learn about this for me. So this is the question the Bible gave me. How can money be evil if it's an inanimate object? Who can say that money sinned? It's not money, it's us, it's mankind. And it seems like, what is wrong with the man? What's wrong with us? I got to do the slide. Is it our ignorance? Are we just ignorant? We just don't know what to do? Could be, but I don't think that's really the problem. Is it just a lack of organization? You're absolutely right. It's not our organization, our ignorance, our magical formula for wealth or whatever. It's our heart. It starts in the heart. That's the root of the problem. The only way we can truly win with money is to have a heart for God. You know, I could spend every day for this 10 weeks telling you magical formulas, not magic. I could tell you how to get rich. I could spend 10 weeks just doing that. You might get wealthy from that. That might happen. It's not going to solve the problems in your life. Let's consider this quote from Paul David Tripp. A budget can expose what your heart truly values, but a budget has no power to make you worship the right king. A budget can give you useful spending guidelines, but it has no power to restrain your fickle heart. A budget can make you more money aware, but it will never deliver you from temptation. We don't need more restrictions in our life. My goal is not to tell you you need a budget to restrain your spending. We need more freedom from Christ in our life. We need more freedom from the things that we possess in our heart. I think when I think of budgeting and how it's perceived in the U.S., I think for a lot of people, a budget kind of serves as a Rube Goldberg machine. I don't if you know what that is. It's like the game of mousetrap, where one machine sets another, just to accomplish a simple task. Like this morning on the news, there's a Rube Goldberg machine that it went through all these tasks, and the only thing it did was change a page on the book. We don't need a budget that does that. So I'm not going to teach that to you. So, also, I just want to really drive this home that money is not the solution to our problems, that more money, higher paycheck is not the solution to our problems. Just look at me. I mean, I went to a college. I remember in college, I'd see a lot of kids driving around in sports cars, and here I am driving around in a Buick Century. It didn't even run on all of its cylinders. It was kind of a mess. And I kind of looked at them, and I had envy in my heart. I said, you know, when I get out of college, I'm going to buy that sports car, and I'm going to show them. So then I got out of college. I got a job. It's a very good-paying job. I'm very fortunate to have it. I'm thankful for it now. But I was more consumed with moving up, the chain. Thank God he came to my rescue from doing that. Another thing, just to add to money is not the solution to our problems. In my job, if you know what I do, I work for the IRS and I do audits. And right now I do an offshore voluntary compliance deal where people are coming forward and disclosing these offshore bank accounts where they hid money from the U.S. government, basically. And in my daily tasks, I meet many millionaires, even a handful of billionaires. I've met with them, I've discussed with them, mostly with their attorneys, but I never got the feeling when I meet these people that these people are really satisfied with their life. Most of them are consumed, and most of them are worried about losing what they have. That's just the truth. So, you know, I'm charging you with a very hard task. How do we change our hearts? It's too hard. It's way too hard for us. It's not anything that I can do for you. It's not anything that you can do for you. It's a job for God. We have to pray to God for this, to free us. And this is something I've been doing daily, just praying, God, don't let this thing come between me and you. Don't let my Honda Accord that I drive come between me and you. If it's your will, if I have to get rid of it, make me get rid of it. Don't let that happen. We have to trust in God's provision. And what we can do is learn and pray. Learn from God through His Word and pray. There's another very important thing about praying I just wanted to mention. And it just comes out of the way I used to pray to the way I pray now. It's how you pray. It's your motives. Don't pray with the wrong motives. Don't go spend money on something like a Honda Accord, and then pray that God's going to pay your medical bills. Don't go spend money on pleasures and then come to God asking for more. We need to be asking for our daily bread, freedom from our evil desires of our heart. So, kind of touched on a lot of different things, so I want to give you a bottom line. Don't let anybody tell you that money is evil or having money is evil. The Bible does not say that. It's how we hold money in our hearts. Is there anything, any quick questions before we move on? Okay. So, the whole of God's Word, what's the overall message about money? Does anyone know what the Bible says, just overall?
Mm-hmm. You know, we have to really look at that we're just a steward of whatever we give.
Yeah, that's really important. God gave us everything. That's where it starts. He gave us everything. It's not evil. He gave it for our use, for our good. Money is a blessing. It's a blessing from God. So that's one point the Bible says about money. The second point is that money can also be a curse to us. Money can be a curse if we turn it into something that it's not supposed to be. If we turn money into the answer to our problems, we're turning to money, the creation, and not the Creator. That's when money becomes a curse. So for the rest of today, let's just go over each point. You know, I'm not very good with PowerPoints. Okay, so money is a blessing. So the first point is money is a demonstration of the goodness of God. God created the earth and the fullness thereof. You could read in Genesis 1, 29 to 31 how God created all our possessions. Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. God has given us everything on this earth. Nothing was ever intended to be used to create envy in each other or suffering. We weren't designed to watch our neighbor starve and hoard money for ourselves. It was designed for, we have an abundance of things on this earth for our good. That all changed after the garden, after sin entered this world. So, on the second point, money can tell us a lot about ourselves. I think there's an old saying, the checkbook is the window to the soul. Money can be used as a tool to evaluate ourselves, to evaluate where we are with God. You can look at where you spend your money and see where your treasures are. If you remember Luke 12, where your heart or where your treasures are, so is your heart. I look at, open your checkbook and just see, where did I spend my money? Well, that tells me what's going on in here, what I am wanting and what I am needing. So if you're being generous with your money, going back and looking at your checkbook, that can be a real blessing, it could be a real joy looking back. But if you're not so generous, it's kind of like, why did I spend money here? Why did I spend money on this? And now it's gone. And if, for me, when I was looking back at what I spent and I had some regret, the good thing about regret is that you can change. So that's why you get some value there. So money tells us about the dangers of this world. Dangers to our spirituality. I've learned kind of a new behavior of listening to people. Have you ever just listened to someone talk about money? I think kind of a common thing that I've heard at work is, oh, if only I won the lottery, then I wouldn't have to come into work. You know? I've just kind of blown off that thought. You know, like, oh, sure, they can. Yeah, who wouldn't want to win the lottery? Whatever. But really, that's telling me something about that person that's not only a danger to themselves, but a danger to myself. Just that person is not happy. There's something going on in that person's heart where I just have to wonder what prompted them to say that. There's something empty in them. So I really think about that when people talk about money in that way now. It's kind of like they're asking me to say, they're seeing if there's any hope in me. it's like a question to me almost. It's like, oh, what's your, why are you so happy? You know, I don't want to come into work. What, you're in work. Why are you so happy? And I need to respond to that much better. I need to respond to that in a way where I'm saying, no, you know, forget about the lottery. This is where it is. God has given you this wonderful job and has provided you, has given you provisions. You need to trust in God and His provisions. And He will save you from the desires of your heart, whatever those are. I think this is just something big that has changed in myself that I need to listen. Just listen in that way. I have, and I got some backfire. But in fact, there's a comment at work that says, I'm going to rack up all the student debt, and that way I'll get my master's degree. And I was like, well, wait a second. Why do you want a master's degree so bad? Are you not going to want to work for the IRS? Or what's the deal? What are your plans? And I was like, well, the government's just going to forgive it anyways. I'm like, well, I mean, what about all this, you know, you're going to devote all this what the plan is in 10 years they can have their debt forgiven, potentially. And I could go on about why I don't like that plan, in my personal opinion. But what it's doing to their lifestyle is it's making them slave to a loan for 10 years when they need to be finding God. So yeah, I've tried it. And it is, you know, when they come back to you in a harsh tone or whatever, you're, who are you? You know, you're just some believer that whatever. You know, they did that to Christ. Just think about that. And if they did that to Christ, that's a good thing. And they're not doing it to you. They're doing it to God. And that's something we should be joyful about. I mean, because that means there's something in us. Christ is living in us. So yeah, there is. The reality is you're going to get some pushback when you answer in that way. What's wrong with you? Oh, maybe you need God in your life. Yeah, the reality is the way they're going to respond, it's not good. But just keep working at it. Okay. So, another good thing about money is it's a means of meeting the needs of others. It's just an excellent means. You ever thought about how wonderful is it that you can give a gift to someone, just someone you love, just give them a gift? It's just a good demonstration of love. But even more so, giving to someone who you don't love so much, giving to the needy, giving to those in need. I just thought of this little example. There's two kids in line. They're going to ride the fastest, just most awesome roller coaster ever. So when the kids get to the front of the line, one of the kids is like, I don't have any tickets. And the other kid has tons of tickets. So, what's that kid with the tickets do? Does he give some tickets to the other guy, or does he just ride the ride himself? I just think, who would want to ride the ride themselves? It's just kind of a blessing to be able to share what you have and enjoy life with other people. So generosity is a gift. Next part, money can connect you to the work of the bigger kingdom. This is just something that's really great. We can help in the Great Commission. Man, have you ever thought about this? I mean, what God? Why does God have any need for us? Why should we be helping? I mean, He's complete. He has everything He needs. He doesn't benefit from this. He's being generous to us. We get to help in His purpose. That's just That's just amazing, an amazing thought. And just think about how many missionaries have just went out across this world, over the world, through all these years, just because we're willing to share and to give. It's a wonderful thing, and God loves this. You know, just think about this. God could send a whole legion of angels and complete his task, but instead he wants you and I to do it. Okay, so money is a blessing, but money can also be a curse. So money can cause us to forget about God. Remember what we read in Proverbs 10? The real danger of money is self-sufficiency. Have you ever met a self-made person? Anyone? Self-made man. They don't need God. They just worship whoever they think made them. And they made themselves, so they worship themselves. They say this, if I need something, I'll go get it. God plays no role in my life. So it's a real danger to forget God. The danger of money is that it can change what we think about ourselves. Have you ever had some of these thoughts? I need a promotion and I'll be happy. I just need $10,000 more a year and then it'll just cover everything. And then I won't need anything else. I deserve it. I've been working at my job for 10 years now. I just really deserve it. And then you get that promotion. And it feels good. But once you got that promotion, what happens? I mean, are you really satisfied? No, you start expecting more. Well, what's the next thing? It's just kind of a natural thing. It's natural to feel that you're entitled to more. And it changes what we think about ourselves. We are entitled. We need more. You want to avoid this. Run away from it. You're not entitled. You don't deserve more. I don't deserve more. I deserve less. I'm thankful for what I have. Count my blessings every day. Do this. So a wise person does this. They count their blessings, knowing they have far more than they deserve. Okay.
Can I go back to that first point?
Sure.
I think the one way you can see that and can cause you to forget that, what happens is, let's use you as an IRS auditor. You get an IRS audit notice in the mail, and you can be consumed by that for weeks, for days, for minutes, or for seconds. You could be consumed about that, whatever's coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no longer about that you're stewards of God's money and so forth. It is about you. Oh, I'm going to have to pay $500 in taxes, $5,000 or whatever. You can be consumed in that instead of, you know, saying, Lord, you know, steward that. I want to steward you, through this whole event. And so we caught up in the event of life. It could be stashing our car, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know that happens with a few preschoolers. Total all the car. Okay? Well, we could get so consumed in that at that moment that God is no longer in the picture. All it is that car.
Definitely. That's a great point. For example, yeah, great point. You know, that could happen with anything. Just any bill. I mean, if you have a house, you're worried about, well, what's going to go wrong with my house next? I need to save money for this, or how am I going to fix this bursted pipe? What's going to happen? You get consumed, and then you're desperate, and you reach out. Maybe you grab some debt, and then it's just kind of like a perpetual problem. Mm-hmm.
You go up and grab debt to resolve it, because that's what you've been trained your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Resolve this on your own strength.
So let's turn it around and what you had talked about the way we should be. So someone who gets an IRS notice in the mail, how should they react to that?
Well, the first action should be, Lord, this is your IRS notice, not mine. Okay, I'm a business, so I'm a steward. I had got a OSHA issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, seek first His kingdom, and then these things will be given to you, right? So, anything in life, whether it's something you own or something you don't, it's not your own understanding or your brilliant ideas of getting you out of it. Go to God first and just say, God, this is really causing me a lot of worry. I know it's not right to be worried. God, I trust in your provision. I'll use whatever means you have given me to resolve this. I won't go above those means. That's wonderful. Thanks for your help on that. So, don't forget God. All right. So if my memory serves me right, I think we're on this point. Money can weaken our resolve to fight temptation. Money can weaken our resolve to fight temptation. Wait, I think I was actually, or was I there? Yeah. So, we have temptations that are restrained to what we have and what's in front of us. But that becomes stronger when you have a lot of money. I can tell you this. I'm not going to succumb to the temptation to buy an NSX concept car that just, you know, was released last year. I can't afford it. It's not a reality for me. So when I'm asking for more money, I'm asking for more grief in my life. That might not be what I need. I better put this up. And so it's a really good thing when you think about asking for more. Maybe that's not what you need. Maybe what you need is less. Maybe you need a smaller lifestyle that you can wrap your hands around, because it's just, I know me. I know that my temptations, they're not changing. You know, if I pull off that limiter of affordability, it's just going to pour on me even more. So, the next point can also finance your allegiance to the kingdom of self. The bottom line here, if we love ourselves more than we love God, what room in our heart is there for God? It makes you blind. You can't even see it. I mean, I think of, a lot of times I think of a hoarder. It's a visual representation of what's happening inside of us. I don't know if you've had hoarders in your life or family, but it's just a terrible thing. It's so hard to help them because they just refuse help. They fill up their house with all of these things and they're attached to them, and they'll forsake anything for them. And that happens to you and me. I mean, at first you kind of look at a hoarder like, that's disgusting. But that's happening in my own heart. It's happening on a different scale. There's things I have that I'm just hoarding. So make room for God in your life. Quit asking for more. And these things, where money is a curse, overcome them with money is a blessing in your life. Just dwell on the thought that God has given me this to do good. God has not given me this for my pleasures. But at the same time, God has given me this to enjoy. So if you can go out, you can buy food, you can buy a car without guilt. It's freedom. It's just a wonderful gift of God. So, for today, this is what we went over in summary. It's very important that we take this to heart when I go through these how-to lessons. I personally, when I'm thinking about how-to, there's just a real danger for me to think, this is going to make me rich. You know, that's not what I want for you. I want for you to love God and for this to be a blessing. So, just remember this, that how we handle money is very important, and we need to be focused on eternity, our eternity with God. Our money problems start in our heart. Money is a blessing from God, and money can be a curse.
The last thing that you said was really good. Can you go back to your last frame? You can finance your relationship with the kingdom of yourself. When you put that on, I thought about the guy in your office that you were talking about who said, oh, I can get a master's degree and then in 10 years, that would just forgive my debt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that God records them, especially with sin. So that's really a dangerous law that our country has, and I think that it's easy for us to succumb to that, you know, and it tempts us to get everything that we can out of the kingdom, out of this world, the kingdom of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And then the other thing that I thought was very interesting when you're talking about what the Bible says about money, and I hope I sorry if I said this, that it's a means of meeting others' needs. I heard a lady's testimony on radio yesterday where her father, I can't remember what happened, but he lost his job, and the church showed up with 17 bags of groceries. And because of his compassion,
Yeah, thank you. I was just thinking of this as you were speaking. I just lost my thought, I'm sorry. But, okay. Well, I see that we're running short on time, but there's an activity I just wanted you to do. It's kind of a simple thing. I don't want to be a burden on any of you. I just want to be helpful. So what I'd like you to do is just do this little activity. Just look back at what you spent last month. Just, it could be a bank statement or your check register if you still use one of those. I use one, so it's I'm not putting you down. Or whatever form, if you use electronic records, whatever, just look back. See, where am I putting my money? What purpose is this for? What does it say about myself? And is this what God wants for my life? That's the questions we need to ask when we're looking over our money. Any other questions or thoughts or anything?
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. It's very encouraging for me to see all of you here. And very thankful that I was able to teach this to you. And I'll tell you this, you know, this is way out of my comfort zone, these lessons. We might get into some of those how-to lessons, and that's where I specialize. But I'm glad that you came, and I hope that it was helpful to you.